We have a couple of guests joining us on the phone this morning. We are joined today by Rick Burns, who is the founder of the Karata Project International. And also with us on the phone this morning is Hala Al-Saraf. And Hala is the head of the Iraq Health Aid Organization. We're going to talk a little bit about a lot of different things that are going on there. Good morning to both of you.
Good morning to you.
Good morning, Jim.
Thank you very much. Rick, I want to start with you. For folks who might have forgotten, give them a refresher course on what the Karata Project International is about.
Well, the Karata Project kind of came out of my two deployments to Iraq and my one to Afghanistan, where I kind of felt like I still had something to offer. We had spent quite a bit of time, and I had met some very, very wonderful and courageous and brave folks in Iraq. Felt like that I still had something to offer after my military career was over, and so we founded the Karata Project, which is an Iowa 501c3 nonprofit corporation, and we're working to continue some of the projects that we worked on in Iraq and Afghanistan, trying to support folks like Hala who are trying their best to improve their communities and make Iraq a peaceful and wonderful place to live.
Rick, do you have to work to educate folks? It's easy for you. You were there. You saw firsthand some of what you're trying to change. Is it difficult sometimes to get the message across to folks who have not been there and not seen what you've seen?
Well, I think so. And part of the problem is that, you know, it's not there. We're not there. We haven't experienced it. For me, it's a very emotional thing. It's a very personal thing. When I start speaking to Iraq, and but honestly, you'll hear more from Hala, but when I see Iraq, that's who I see. I see these folks on the ground really trying to make Iraq a better place. We see spikes in interest when things are happening now with the Islamic State in Iraq and the Levant and other things. But, you know, in between those spikes, there's still things going on, and there's still very important work being done by Iraqis on the ground.
How did you meet Hala?
I cannot even remember. Hala, maybe remember we met through a mutual organization or people. This is what I find so enjoyable about this work that we're involved in is that you there's a network of people that you meet through other people and you see folks doing some very, very wonderful things and through this network of folks you get to meet even more people.
You bet. Well, Hala, I want to talk about your work because a lot of folks in this country are familiar with ISIS, ISIL, whatever the common term is now, but we see it from a distance. We don't experience it firsthand yet, but you've been dealing with the aftermath, what's left when these things happen in a country. You deal with this every day, don't you?
Yes, I do, unfortunately. Yeah. We do. Actually, we, when I say I must say that I belong to the whole team, that we're all dealing with this on a daily basis, yep. And it seems that, unfortunately, it's going to be there for a while to deal with.
What can you explain to folks what type of work are you doing?
So, basically, my background is I'm a Fulbright alumni. I did my Fulbright at Columbia University, specializing in health policy and health management. I have a 10-year work experience with WHO in my own country, in Iraq, also with the World Health Organization. So, my main concern is the health and well-being of the Iraqi people and focusing on children and women. Being the case, when I came to the U.S., I learned what is this all about to have a Fulbright, basically. My role here is basically I'm taking what I've seen in the U.S. and applying it in my own community. So upon my return, I decided that I'm not going to continue with the U.N. because I want to do something more of a national level, and that is basically to copy the foundation concept from the U.S. to my country. So I started our own not-for-profit organization, Iraq Health Aid, which focuses on health and the social contribution to health. So basically, whatever affects health of people becomes my concern. And there I started 2008 with the trauma of the post-Civil War 2006 to 2008. And trauma was the most horrified thing that families face, children and women specifically. Until today, it didn't end. It's coming in different shapes, whether explosions, whether so we have to deal with the widowhood, the psychological trauma, and how it affects the security of Iraq, because those become easy targets for other terrorists to use them, mobilize them to conduct terrorist acts themselves or their children. On the other hand, all of a sudden we were swamped by this the fall of Mosul, unfortunately, Mosul City, and Mosul is very specific because it has all the the melting pot of Christians, of Yazidis, of Sunnis, basically, and then there are the Shias that are taking certain cities, and then we were swamped by waves of families, people, children, all from rural areas, all of a sudden pouring to Baghdad City with all their horrific stories about what they have seen or what they have gone through. So that's because of ISIS, and I see ISIS repeating everywhere, whether in Syria, whether in Iraq, and unfortunately, if it's going to go to any other city, it's going to be exactly the same trauma. So that's what we do. What I do basically is trying to register these families, meet their basic needs, being providing their babies with milk and biscuits. Basically, our focus now is on children under five, because this is where we need to hold most. They are the most vulnerable. Pregnant mothers, disabled, and at the same time, if there's anything we could do to the family, we do not hesitate in doing that. Of course, the resources are very limited. The government response is, weak because of all the other situations that they are dealing with in terms of military fights. But the Karada is very specific. The Karada community is, and I'm very lucky that I happen to be from Karada, and I feel bad that I never met Rick while we were basically working in the same neighborhood. I used to attend the meetings and their headquarters, but I never knew him then. But thanks to technology, we got connected, and here we are. I'm so excited to be able to meet with him and get more into collaboration where we could together do something. He's excited about Iraq. I'm very much influenced by the U.S. experience, and I don't see anything that can work better than that.
Well, it sounds like you're very upbeat about what you're doing, and for some it might seem that would be a difficult thing to do considering what you have to deal with every day, and it just comes nonstop. Do you just focus on the human element?
Well, isn't that what it's all about? This is where I find my comfort zone, actually. You know, if you give me the option to the best place and sitting with these families and listening to them, I would choose the second one simply because I could see it makes a difference for them to know that there is somebody who cares, there is somebody who could put things somehow with a kind of hope for them. And also for me, I believe what goes around comes around. I always believe that, I don't know what you call it, but it's going to come to me one day. I mean, actually, it did come to me. I was in a situation where I needed help, and this very, very U.S. community helped me at times when I needed help, when my son was ill, and I never even asked for it, but it was there given for me. So now it's my responsibility to do that to others. It's kind of like I feel it's a debt I have to settle with God. So yes, it's very human. It's very, it could be, exhausting, but I have not reached that stage yet. Thank God.
Yeah, well, bless your heart for all the good work that you do. It's got to be great to have friends like Rick and the Karada Project, and to find people in other countries who haven't experienced that, who are willing to reach out and help.
But this is it. You see, because of people like Rick, I was assisted once, and because he's there now to assist others, my job becomes much easier, because what I'm doing is I'm basically being the medium here. But what we do is I think it's for the good of humanity, and we're all living on this earth. And I know there are priorities. I know each community will have its own issues to deal with, but to go across to that distance, you know, when you deliver a Christian gift in a very religious-based, religious-type community, it has a different message, and people get it. So, I don't know, I think we meet in that on a great extent.
Rick, can I just bring you back into this again? Now, I know the Rotary Club here in Atlantic has its military appreciation lunch coming up here soon. Will Halla be a part of that?
Yes, the annual lunch will be at noon on Tuesday, November 4th, and Halla will be our featured speaker there. And I think anybody that has even a small interest in what's going on in the world will find her very fascinating, as you have experienced now. And find her very just a very fascinating person to be able to share some of the things she's been working on and some of the things that are happening in Iraq right now. Yeah, it'll be at the Heritage House Atlantic at noon on November 4th.
Very good. And any veteran is welcome to attend?
Yes, it's all veterans, all former military folks are invited to be there and to enjoy a meal and some fellowship and a very fascinating speaker.
Well, I think it's very important to continue to tell these stories.
Well, the problem is that we don't often, because we're so distanced from it, we don't often see the very human element that, and the very courageous and brave and energetic and passionate folks on the ground that continue to work in Iraq. I had the blessing of being able to just come home to my acreage in Iowa, but there are people like Halla who fight that battle daily and are doing incredible things that nobody really sees because they're doing it at a very grassroots level. This is the Iraq that I see. When I think of Iraq, Halla is what I see when I think of Iraq.
Thank you very much, Rick. That's very kind of you. And actually for me, I mean, to come and attend the Rotary meeting, I feel happy because my interaction with the Rotary in the days before the fall of the previous regime was that the Rotary was funding all the children immunization campaigns in Iraq. It used to come under World Health Organization kind of body, but we knew that it was the Rotary funds. And so I see that the message, what I'm doing, is basically it's a kind of another form of continuing helping the children to survive this crisis. Another interaction I had during my Fulbright years when the Rotary was taking care of the children with heart problems and needed surgery, so they were very kind to host these children, four children, and I didn't know what was going on then. I never thought I would start an NGO, but this is why I got into the NGO business, because at that time they needed volunteers to translate Arabic to English, because those kids, neither the kids nor their parents knew how to communicate with the doctors, and I was volunteering there. But I saw the message. I see how much you can do when you really do not. I don't have to be sharing your nationality to understand your pain. This is what they did with the Rotary. They were not Iraqis. They did not belong to Mosul or Baghdad, but they were there to aid our kids. So, and I felt grateful. And this is what I thought, that this is what I want to do. If there are others who care, then I should be the first one who care to my community. And this is how I think we interact and how this is relinked.
Halla Al-Saraf of the Iraq Health Aid Organization, Rick Burns of the Karada Project International. Thank you both so much for spending time with us. Hope you get a great crowd and get a great message across there at the Rotary meeting coming up on Tuesday.
Looking forward.